Since at least 213 BCE, book burnings have been a reaction to the power of the written word. When roasting paper in a giant circle went out of style, at least in the intellectual sphere, we hope, governments would take it upon themselves to ban books. However, when we talk about book bannings today, at least in the Western world, we are usually discussing a specific choice made by individual schools, school districts, and libraries made in response to the moralistic outrage of some group. This, while still hotly contested, problematic, and controversial, is still nothing in comparison to the ways books have been removed, censored, and outright destroyed in the past, along with their authors. So on that happy note, let's explore how the seemingly innocuous book has survived centuries of the ban hammer. Historically speaking, there are usually three big reasons books are banned: religion, morality, and politics. Back in the BC era, entire ideas, religions, and political movements were wiped out. Not with a mass tweet, but with book burnings. And sometimes, if things were really intense, people burnings as well. One of the earliest documented examples in North America is the burning of Aztec and Mayan manuscripts in the 1560s by Catholic priests and conquistadors. In Tudor England, during the schism between the Church of England and the Roman Catholic Church, depending on which monarch was arbitrarily in power and which religion they followed, your choice of religious book could get you murdered. Historians point to Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin as the first book in the United States to experience a ban on a national scale. Many southern states outright prohibited the sale of the book, stating that it stoked the flames of abolition. And Uncle Tom's Cabin is often considered the book that helped start the Civil War, which, you know, considering all the slave narratives, is a hot take, but whatever. One place you could call the Billboard Hot 100 of banned books is the Index Librorum Prohibitorium, or List of Prohibited Books. This was a list of books and other publications deemed heretical by the Vatican. Victor Hugo, over it. Copernicus and Galileo, canceled. Rousseau, you gotta go. If you were Catholic, you could not read this content without permission from a priest or a higher power. This included romantic texts, astronomy, science, and anything else the church saw as antithetical to their faith. Funny enough, Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species was not listed among the banned texts in question. Things that make you go, maybe they liked it. It was banned from the library of Trinity College, Cambridge, and in the United States kept out of many schools. In Tennessee, the book, as well as the teaching of evolution, were banned until as late as 1967. Two legal cases that really helped move the conversation in a different direction were The United States versus a book called Ulysses in 1933, and R vs. Penguin Books in 1960. In R vs. Penguin Books Limited, the book in question was D.H. Lawrence's Lady Chatterley's Lover, which is about a noblewoman who has an affair with her gardener. During the trial, Mervyn Griffith Jones, the prosecutor, asked the jury to decide if the book was obscene and if it had enough, quote, literary merit.
Would you approve of your young sons, young daughters, because girls can read as well as boys, reading this book? Is it a book you would have lying around your own house? Is it a book that you would even wish your wife or your servants to read?
Aldous Huxley, in a handwritten deposition to the defense team,
Lady Chatterley's Lover is an essentially wholesome book. That a beautiful and serious work of art should run the risk of being banned because its creator chose to make use of certain words, that it is conventional to regard it as shocking, this is surely the height of absurdity.
It seemed like the jury agreed with Huxley, and they ultimately voted that the book was not obscene. Book banning is not about morality. It is about control. Controlling the scope of the imagination and smothering it before it can truly grow. It is fine to expose children to complicated books, but doing so asks us to talk to children, not just lecture them. Should we be conscious of the kind of work we expose children to? Of course, but banning books because they include LGBTQ families or because they talk candidly about the realities of marginalized existence ignores that there are children in those families and in those realities who need these books.